we're glad to be in God's house this morning. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's good to be back this morning. It's been an awesome week at camp for some of us. If you've never been, I pray that you would choose to go sometime. Just seeing God move amongst young people is an incredible thing. I want to encourage you to think about that. But praise the Lord. We're here this morning. We've been worshiping already. And we're just going to continue to do so. But let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father God, I just praise your name for who and what you are. And I just ask, Lord, that your will be done here today, that we will lift your name, that you will be glorified and your people edified as we truly settle into knowing that you are God, not just amongst the nations or amongst this person or that, but amongst all who call your name, you are our Heavenly Father. So Lord, if there is someone here today, whether it be someone in this church building or whether it's someone on the channel, YouTube channel or on the podcast, whatever it is, if there's somebody, Lord, that you can take a song, take a word, take whatever it is and touch their heart and get them to make that decision, I pray that you will speak specially to them today. And Father, if someone in this room needs a handshake, a hug, whatever it is to hear and feel your voice and your presence amongst them, may we be obedient and do what you've called us to do. And Father, may your will be done amongst your people. We give you all praise, honor, and glory for what's happening here this day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, it's good seeing everybody this morning. I want you to walk around a second, give somebody a hug, and just tell them it's good to see them in God's house this morning.
Good morning.
so I took that opportunity to fill in the back of the bulletin for you. And behold, it's about Vacation Bible School, because that's what I'm about. So, who's going to go to Vacation Bible School this year? Raise your hand if you're going to Vacation Bible School.
Everybody say yes.
Are you going to Vacation Bible School? Like, have a CD.
Yes.
So since we're getting a late start for Vacation Bible School, I need y'all to practice these songs so y'all will be ready to sing them. Who knows when Vacation Bible School is this year? It's in August. Almost right before y'all go back to school. So y'all are going to have a lot of fun right before school, right? All right, so I've given a bunch of these CDs to the kids. If y'all didn't get one, they're going to be on the back table. When y'all leave, you can get them. I can't get to everybody. But I have another something really important, and that was for the kids. For you adults, I want you to have one of these too if you're planning on coming, because we need to learn these songs. But also, on the back table, there's a bright yellow piece of paper. This is one of the most important things for VBS. This is a prayer calendar. Today is July the 1st, and this prayer calendar starts. We have 35 days before Vacation Bible School. So teachers, don't freak out. That's enough time. We're going to get it all done. We're running a little late. But this prayer calendar has something on every day specific for you to pray on, specific for you to pray about. Something every day. Today, we're supposed to be thanking God for providing all we need to abound in His good work. So if we all are picking up one of these yellow papers on the back, we're going to be super, super prayed up for VBS this year when it starts August the 6th. Okay? So will y'all join me doing that? Pick one up on the back table. Also, for those of y'all that didn't know, Carla, Lou, and Peggy were very instrumental in Vacation Bible School. So this year's going to be really hard. Also, a lot of our kids are gone. They are normally here. But those three ladies played an integral part of our Vacation Bible School. So I've decided, after talking to God this week, that we're going to do VBS bigger and better to honor them. All right? We are going to do the skit. We'll do things as normal as Sutherland Springs can do them. So we're going to be doing a skit. Miss Annie, where's Miss Annie? Annie. There's Miss Annie in the back. Miss Annie is going to be taking charge of the skit this year. She needs some volunteers. I believe the cast for the skit is like 10 people, right?
Yes. One more than that. I have a sign-up sheet
in the back. Okay. So she's got a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd like to participate in the skit. The Sunday after Vacation Bible School, we hold a family day, and the kids perform their songs, and there's a skit that teaches the Word of God and the plan of salvation in simple terms, so that people that don't normally come to church can hear it in simple terms. It's on a kid's level, aimed at adults and kids alike, so that they can hear the gospel one more time before they leave that summer. So that's our plan for this week. So for the Vacation Bible School week, so August 6th through 10th, put that on your calendar. We have Vacation Bible School from 9 to 12, then we feed lunch to everybody that's here. So if y'all are not at work that week, or if you have to work in the afternoon, plan on joining us. But most important, plan on praying for us this whole next 35 days, okay? Alright. One more thing. We have a couple of birthdays that are tomorrow of some people that are no longer with us. Hayley Kruger would have been 17 tomorrow. Charlene is going to hold a balloon release in her honor for her birthday, for her remembrance. So she's inviting everybody to come at 5 o'clock here. She's going to have some snack food in the fellowship hall, and everybody is welcome to join us for the balloon release tomorrow at 5.
When you hear the sermon in a little bit, you're going to think Sherry and I conspired, I think, but I have not seen her. I was at camp, but the sermon goes right along with what she said, so praise the Lord, you're going to hear it anyway. Amen. Just a few more announcements. Staff meeting immediately after church today. We're going to have it here at the Fellowship Hall again this week. So staff, if you could stay for a little bit after church, that would be wonderful. Highland Lakes, I believe, is heading out today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Highland Lakes Youth Camp will be heading out tomorrow. So make sure you keep the youth in prayer. I said this in Sunday school. However, I will say it again. I appreciate everyone who was praying for us this past week. Our RA and GA camp went incredibly well. I can specifically speak for the riflery since I was down there. But our RAs and riflery went very, very well. And I know it's because we had people praying for us. So thank you for that. The prayer calendar, Sherry's already went over. Also, there are shirts with the church, the white church on the front. Please see Ann if you ordered some of those shirts or would like to order more of them. Right, Ann? If you'd like to order more of those. So see Ann about those shirts with the white church on the front. And then one more thing I wanted to touch on this morning. I might have should have touched on it a couple of weeks ago. You may not have even noticed. However, praise the Lord, one of the members here was able to bring it together. But if you notice the doors in the foyer, in the entryway, and these two doors here, these are new doors that have the capability so that they are locked so that no one can come in per se, but you can go out. Please recognize where the exits are in case of an emergency, a fire or something like that. They may be locked from the outside, but with these new doors, you can push them and they'll go open from the inside out. So that's a huge praise. That's the doors up front too. They had to do some modifications to make those new doors fit, but they're there, and it's so you can push and get out without any problem. I want to make sure if you had any fears, alleviate those fears there. Also know that the safety response teams that we have put together here at the church was able to go through more training yesterday. We were at a active shooter training range and was able to take more training there. Appreciate all your prayers on that, but I just want you to know that we are being proactive and making sure everything is as safe as possible. And then one more announcement I was going to mention to you guys is that I'm putting together or speaking to someone about CHL classes. If you are interested in that as a church, please get with me and I will, because I need to come up with a number of people who are interested in CHL classes as well. Okay, I think that is enough announcements this morning. Let's get back to praising the Lord. Oh no, almost forgot Ian. Ian? Oh, his wife's over there. Yep, yep. Push that lower bar, the one that's got a little mechanism. Like push on that, that nobody can come in, but you can get out if there's a problem. So those doors have all been. You're right. I didn't even notice that one's got three different bars on it. Push the big one. Push the big one. All right, Ian, come on up, brother. Amen. Father God, I just lift up my brother to you right now, and I thank you for him and his family and their willingness to come and share and be a part of this family. And right now, he's coming in obedience to open the word. May we hear you through him in this scripture reading right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right.
So the command or what distinguishes us as Christians, it's not about our wonderful music or our religious exercises, which, you know, all definitely have their place. But John 13:35 says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And love is not just a feeling, it's not just a word, it's definitely actions. And it's something that each and every one of us in our marriages, in all of our different relationships at work, socially, etc., is an exercise in perfecting. The Lord definitely wants to see us growing all the time. And Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, he opens up with just one of the most heartfelt expressions of love that he has. You know, platonic love, just true love that he has for, you know, the people who he discipled, who he led to the Lord, and he gives some practical examples of what we need to be continuing to remember as we grow in living a life that is truly a loving one each and every day. So here we go. This is going to be Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. He starts out, "So then, my dearly beloved, and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord." So both these words, strong women of God, and Paul specifies that here. but apparently they had some odd with one another. It says, yes, I also ask you, true partners, to help these women who have contended for the gospel by my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So even, you know, people who are not with each other, you know, it's not like one is more foolish than the other. Sometimes we just have issues, right? And it's like, hey, both these are godly women who have fought alongside with me, who are strong women, you know, in the Lord, whose names are on the book of life, and for whatever reason, they've got some stuff going on. That could be, you know, any one of us at any given time. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that's a choice. A rejoicing heart, you know, is definitely a choice. It says, let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Thank you, Lord. So, dear Jesus, we just ask that your peace, which passes all physical understanding, will truly reign in your heart. May we yield our minds and tongues and actions and bodies and spirit to you, so that we may truly be known by our love, not just now, but all throughout this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Standing on the promises of God.
And did a lot of the director position and just really worked, but he wasn't able to be here. And I want to thank Brody for coming up and taking the lead and putting this together for us this morning. I do have to say, though, I'm kind of spoiled. In fact, I shared with Morgan one night at camp this week. You know, we had a band there every night, and it's not like being at home. You know, our guys just, well, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about them. They were good. It's just I miss being here listening to our guys. Amen? God is good. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Every time I get up here to preach, guys, and I follow our praise team, I'm just thinking, how can I top that? But praise the Lord, they woke you up, and you just have to listen now. But I got to get it out there before you fall asleep again. But Mark chapter 10 shares a story with us that we need to grab a hold of. You know, there is a story that's been talked about. Let me share with you this. There was this little four-year-old girl who was sleeping in her bed one night, but she was frightened by a thunderstorm. And then there was one particularly loud clasp of thunder. And she jumped from her bed and she ran down the hall and burst into her parents' room. And she jumped into the middle of the bed and she sought her parents' arms and snuggled up in there for comfort and assurance. Where her daddy looked at her and said, "Now, honey, you shouldn't worry. You know that the Lord is going to protect you." And the little girl snuggled closer to her daddy and said, "Yeah, daddy, I know that, but I needed someone with skin on." But how often do we need that hug? We know God exists. We know God loves us, as we just read. We know that God loves us and He cares for us. And we know that, but sometimes we need that hug. We need somebody to just tell us and give us that handshake and let us know. How much more so the children need that, especially in this society in which we live today. In your Bible there in chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13, it says, "Some people were bringing little children to him so he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked them. But yet when Jesus saw that, he was indignant, and he said unto them, 'Let the little children come unto me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, whoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it.' After taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and he blessed them." Amen. Hallelujah. In this scripture, in this passage of scripture right here, the little children had more than someone with skin on them. They had God with skin on him. Amen. They had God come and just and put his arms around them. As I laid in bed Friday night and I was contemplating everything that had transpired this past week, and I was thinking about all the different kids I was able to interact with, that God allowed me to interact with, and I was laying there and I was just going over all the scenes from Riflery and all the just smiles in the cabin. I had all this going through my head. I realized what it was I was supposed to share with you guys this morning. Because also what was going on in my head, I had a conversation Friday afternoon with someone who said, and she meant this, it just kind of breaks my heart, but I was talking to her and sharing with her that I had been at camp all this past week, and she said she really couldn't stand to see children in the church, and that's why she seeks out older churches so that she wouldn't have to put up with the kids. And she didn't mean it in a harsh way as much as she said kids just take away from the program. Kids take away from the services. Kids take away from what it is that she is there to hear. And I thought, how incredibly sad that is. Notice what's going on in our verses right here. People were bringing their children to Jesus so he could touch them. Amen? Amen. People were bringing those children to Jesus and they wanted him to touch them. And Jesus, in return, wanted to reach out there. Jesus was welcoming these requests. He was wanting to reach out to these children. He wanted to wrap his arms around them. And this passage of scripture, as it rolled around in my head, I thought, what is there that we can learn from watching Jesus touch these children? Watching Jesus reach out and hold these children. The disciples, now they were trying to keep the people from bringing the children to him. They were saying, "No, you need to get back. You know, don't take up the master's time." No doubt, I believe that their motives were sincere. They may have resented the imposition of the master's time and the missed master's strength. And I see that sometimes. People even here will say, "Well, no, you have to leave the pastor alone, or you have to leave this, or yeah." And I'm thinking, no, that's what I'm here for. I am to intercede and work with these issues. And I know that the people mean well when they do this. I think the disciples meant well. Now, they may have made that same tragic mistake as I spoke about with that lady Friday of concluding that the needs of the children weren't important, but I don't think so. I think they were just trying to guard the master's time. I think they were just trying to guard Jesus' strength. He was tired, and they knew that, and they were saying, just keep the children away. In either case, they were being forgetful because Jesus had already told them how important it was to receive the children back in Mark chapter 9. I don't know if you remember Mark chapter 9, but verse 36, it says that Jesus took a child, and he put that child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken that child into his arms, he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive one of these children in my name receiveth me. But not only do they receive me, but they receive he who has sent me." Hallelujah. Jesus had already told them by putting that child in front of them that this child, that these children are important. And not just important for the society, not just important for what's going on here, not just important for family. He's saying these children are important to me. In fact, to the point, you guys should act like they do if you want to enter into heaven. The children were important. When Jesus saw the attempts of the disciples to keep the children away from him, he got upset. Our Holman says he got indignant. I like that word. He was upset. He was like, what in the world are you doing? Folks, when we step in the middle or if we put ourselves between a child and Christ, you may say, oh, I would never do that, do we? When we maybe choose to do this over that or something. I'm not going to get into all the different choices. But what I would ask you to do is think into yourself. Because when we put ourselves in a way and become a hurdle for a child to come onto Christ, we need to know that that is not something that's going to make him happy. That is not something he's going to look favorably upon. It displeases Jesus when we stand in the way of him being able to reach out and touch those children. Now, the Holy Spirit resides in us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit that resides within you is going to want to reach out to these children and lead them to Christ. The Holy Spirit that lives within you wants to reach out and love these children, especially in a world where the society today is hurting them and pushing them further and further into darkness at a younger and younger and younger age. We as the Holy Spirit, we as the vessels of the Holy Spirit, should be allowing our light to shine, not just so we can entertain one another here, not just so that we can help one another here, but so that the children of tomorrow will know that God loves them now. Amen. And not only does he love them now, he's going to love them tomorrow and the next day and all the way through glory. But they're not going to know it if we as a church keep pushing them out into the sidelines. If we tell them to sit down, shut up, and not be seen and not heard, that is not the example that Jesus set for us. The children in our lives, you may say, well, I don't have children anymore. Maybe there's grandchildren. Maybe there's the neighbor's children. Maybe there's the children that you come in contact with at school. There may be children here at the church. When there are children around, I'm not saying to let children just run wild. I'm saying let them know that God loves them, God cherishes them, and God wants to hold them and lead them to eternal glory with him. That is our job, guys. We're all about sharing the gospel. Hallelujah. But that gospel is just as important for that 5-year-old as that 50-year-old. And we are the ones to be about doing that. The children are incredibly valuable to Christ. The Bible portrays children as a blessing, not a burden. I'm not going to go and read Psalms 127. However, if you would go and read Psalms 127 sometime, it says, great is he that has more arrows in his quiver. That we are to have those children and go out there and lead those children to Christ. Like Jesus, we should invest our time into touching our children, being involved with them, investing time in them, letting them know how much we love them, but how much even more that God loves them. I did not know Sherry was going to want to come up and stand and share and speak about the play for people volunteering in the play or Vacation Bible School, but how well that comes together. There is an opportunity. You may say, I don't have kids. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. We need to let our kids know that they are important enough to us. It's easy for some of us to throw money at kids or throw money at a program. Folks, it is our time that they desire. It is our time, and I'm going to even go so far and take it even further and say it's our touch. They just need that little squeeze on the shoulder to let them know that I am there, to let them know that I care. They need somebody with skin on them to let them know that God is real. And he has called his people, his church, to do that. If we are the hands and feet of Jesus, we say that all the time, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Well, those same hands and feet of Jesus were the ones that put a child in front, wrapped his arms around him, and said, you old people better get it straight. Because if you want to come into heaven, you need to be like this child right here. Now, I understand there's going to be people like the disciples in this story who haven't gotten it yet. They don't understand that yet, and they're not as insightful to the value of a child, possibly. But we cannot afford to let their ignorance stand in our way of reaching out to kids and letting them know that God loves you. We need to reach to our children and remind them that God is right here for you. That means sitting in the little chairs with our daughters. Dang it. Amen. Sorry, my mind went elsewhere. I mean, sitting in chairs and playing make-believe tea with them is just as important as anything. It is any business associate that you could ever come in contact with. It means getting in the backyard and playing ball and throwing that baseball with your sons and your daughters is just as important as any sales pitch that you can give in any corporation, guys. Spending time with our kids is what he has called us to do. Children are valuable, and they need to know it. We don't need to overlook them. We don't need to push them to the side. We need to touch them every chance we get and show them God loves you. That's what Jesus did. And if it was important for Jesus to do that, if it was important for him to intercede for them when the disciples started to push them to the sides, then how much more so should we step up to that plate? If Jesus did it, then we should be making that an important priority in our lives as well. Amen. The kids are important. Now, it was common for parents in Jesus' day to bring their children to a godly rabbi and ask that rabbi, will you bless him? Can you imagine with the teaching and the miracle ministry of Jesus that was going on in that day, that the excitement of being able to have Christ touch their children? They probably were excited to bring their children to Jesus and let him touch them. Folks, I would share with you today that if we are just as excited about the miracle working God that we have, then it should be the same. People should see us and say, man, I want the God that you serve, I want them to touch my child. Then walk over there, lay your hands on that child, love on that child and say in the name of Jesus and pray over that child. And who knows, that child may come to know Christ. And when that child comes to know Christ and he's going through his discipleship and he grows up, he's going to remember how God touched him one day through a church member in that little church out in the middle of nowhere. Guys, we have been called to be his hands and feet. We are to touch them. And how dare we when we get in the way of Jesus touching our children? You know, Christian counselors all agree that the first meaningful component of blessing each other is meaningful touch. That's a number that's been proven. It communicates warmth. It communicates personal acceptance. It communicates affirmation. It communicates even physical health. In 1945, in one of my sociology classes, we had to study a lab test. You know, there's just no better way to put it. And the project was to discover if there was any effect of personal touch, personal attention on babies. So one group of babies was just given continual affection. One group of babies was just continual attention. Very seldom a minute went by without somebody walking over and just touching that child. Some kind of adoration was continually expressed. Another group of babies was put in cribs and they were ignored and left to fend for themselves except for the meal coming and being presented to them. No love and affection whatsoever. Well, the conclusions to that experiment would be just as you would expect. Those children who had been deprived of that touch, the attention, and were treated as if nobody cared for them, they had a higher rate of illness and a higher rate of mental dysphoria. They couldn't hardly function. Their needs were met, but there was no caress. There was no love. There was nothing given unto those kids, and it showed. A freelance reporter from The New Yorker one time, many years ago, was interviewing Marilyn Monroe. Well, they knew that Marilyn Monroe had, in her younger years, had bounced all over these different foster homes, shuffling from one to the next to the next. Well, this reporter asked Marilyn Monroe, they said, did you ever feel loved by anyone in any of the foster families where you lived? And she answered real quickly. She said, yes, there was once, when I was about 7 or 8 years old. Think about how long this is, but yet she could answer so quickly. She said, the woman I was living with was putting on makeup at the time, and she was in a happy mood, so she reached over, and with her rouge puff, I think she says, she touched my cheeks with the rouge puff, and for that moment, I felt loved by her. Marilyn had tears in her eyes when she answered this question, when she remembered this event, and she shared that quickly and openly. Why? If that touch only lasted a few seconds, and it had happened so many years before, and it was just a casual, playful way of touching her. It wasn't meant to communicate warmth. It wasn't meant to communicate love of any kind of meaning. It was just a casual, playful thing. Why did it mean so much to her? That small act, that small touch, was like pouring buckets of love and security on a parched little girl who was starved for affection. Why? Because she needed to know that somebody was willing to touch her. Folks, I'm going to share with you this morning that Christ is that person. Christ longs to touch these children, and he's put himself within us. We have become his hands and feet. And I would say parents, those of you who work with children, grandparents, whomever you may be, God has told us, do not withhold our touch. We need to let these kids know that they are important, and we are going to hug them. Children need to be hugged. They need to be allowed to sit on their parents' laps. They need to be patted on top of the head. They need a pat on the back or a pat on the shoulder. They need to lovingly know that we are there. They need the warmth of our touch. Now, I understand we live in an age which that's deemed inappropriate sometimes. I fully comprehend that. I fully grasp that. Just this past week, there was a little man who was so burnt, got so sunburnt, that his poor little ears were glowing across the cabin almost. And his poor little face was just so red. And so I went over to the nurse's station. I got some aloe vera. I came back. And I rubbed aloe vera on his little face and his ears and the back of his neck. And I asked him, I said, son, does it still hurt? And he said, a little bit. But I hugged him. I kissed him on the top of his head, helped him up into, he was a top bunk, helped him in his top bunk. I tucked him all in and everything. And by the time I'd done all that touching and loving on him and tucked him in, you could see that he forgot all about his sunburn. I prayed with him right then, and you could see that when we were done, that sunburn was the farthest from his mind. But yet in the back of my mind, I was worried somebody's going to say something about me loving on this little boy like this. Now, I knew they wouldn't. I knew where I was at. But still, society has put that thought in my head. The age in which we live is a sad one. And when we start worrying more about what other people are going to think rather than what God's going to think, we are the ones who's in the wrong. We need to understand that God is going to watch us. We need to trust the Lord to protect us and then go forth and let these children know. Now, obviously, I'm saying in a healthy way, but let them know that they are cared for. Love on your children, parents. Love on your grandchildren. Love on those kids in the church. Jesus was touching these children to the point he even used them to teach salvation. Now, I can't help but wonder, you look at this story and you say, well, what childlike, not childish, but childlike attributes am I supposed to have to be able to enter into heaven? Why would he say that I have to enter kind of like a child? Where would he want me to go with that? Notice what he says there? Whosoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. I think we need to learn from our children the humility. Luke records this incident when Jesus was talking about this, right after the parable where the Pharisee and the sinner go into the church, and the Pharisee says, look how righteous I am. Thereby, God says, you're not righteous at all. But the sinner goes in and he says, oh me, a wretched sinner. And Jesus pronounced him forgiven. Then you see this next story with the child. I think that what he is saying, we need to have the humility of a child. That Pharisee, he wasn't humble at all. But that sinner humbled himself and was justified. Children are willing to be humble. They come before us. He possesses this simple humility. He understands, I'm a child. And God says, when we understand that we are children, humbling ourselves and taking that same simplicity of faith and coming on to children. Again, this past week, Wednesday night, Pat did something to help put the kids down to bed. And I was in a meeting, so I wasn't there, but he left Thursday night to do some stuff, so I took over. And I'll share with you that Thursday night, I walked around to every bunk in our barracks, and each bunk I stopped and asked that child, is there something you'd like me to pray for you about? And then he would give me some prayer requests, and we as a barracks would pray right then. And then I'd go to the next bunk. And I said, son, what is it you would like me to pray with you about? And he would tell me something. Now, a couple fell asleep by the time I got to them. But for the most part, every one of those kids, it was awe-inspiring that every one of those kids had a prayer request, and they had the faith in believing that when we prayed as friends and as group, as boys in that cabin, that each bed that I stopped by and I prayed out loud for everybody to pray for them, every one of them boys were lifting up things, praying that they'd see their friends again next year when they come to camp again, praying for their dads. One young boy, his dad's in jail, and he said, I just want my daddy to be safe while he's in there so he can come out, and I want him to come out a godly man. And he was praying for these things. And this is a little boy that wants his dad to be godly. And other kids, I just want to make sure that we have a better witness for Christ. These are coming from little guys in bunks. But they had the humility and they had the faith in their God that if I would stand there and pray with them and they would pray with me and we were all praying together, that these were things that God could bring to pass. Folks, when we as adults will take on the humility and the faith of a child, that wonderful ability to trust and act upon what God tells us to do, I think our lives would change. I know that we are older, and because we're older, we've been lied to, we've been manipulated, we've been taken for granted. We have a tendency to become skeptical. We have a tendency to become cynical. We have a tendency not to trust people. But I would say this morning that if we would just trust the Lord to get us where we need to be, how sad it is that we've allowed Satan to steal these things that are so precious from us. Yet Jesus gives us an example. He sets that child out there and says, become more like him. Because you see, that child will willingly receive a gift with no strings attached too. But we in our pride, we think, oh, well, I can't be beholden to anybody. There's really no such thing as something for nothing. Folks, what this passage of Scripture says that I would like to submit to you, God's saying, if you'll come to me with the humility, with the faith, with the trust of this child whom I love, who I am wrapping my arms around and letting him know that I love him. If you will come unto me in such a fashion, I will give you the most precious gift that was ever given, and that is forgiveness. And I'm going to wrap my arms around you then, and I'm going to love you. If you haven't already done so, the question I would present to you is how Jesus ended that passage. And that is, would you accept that gift? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? With a simple, childlike faith, have you truly opened your heart and said, God, here I am? Because he lovingly waits to touch you. He lovingly waits to make you one of his children. He is lovingly waiting to wrap his arms around. But Pastor, you don't know how bad or how hard I've been. I believe that God allows us to go through and see things to remind us of who we are. I guarantee you beyond any shadow of a doubt that my kids have done things that I am not very happy about. My kids have done things that sometimes I'm just infuriated and wondering, what in the world were you thinking? But one thing I can tell you for sure, there's not been a moment that's gone by that I don't love my kids. Even when they're being incredibly dumb. But when was I not in that same boat? I guarantee you I've done some incredibly dumb things before. And yet my God still loves me. If I can still love my children and I'm not perfect, how much more can he who loves me, who is perfect, love you as well? Folks, the children are important to God. In fact, so much he says that we need to come more like him if we want to step out and be what he's called us to be. All we have to do is trust him. Now, if you're here this morning, you say, well, I already have, then that's great. The next question is, would you consider getting more involved with your children? Would you consider getting involved with any children? Maybe it's your neighbors, maybe it's your own, maybe it's kids here at the church, maybe it's Vacation Bible School like Sherry just presented here, maybe it's at another camp, maybe it's to go and work at schools. And you may say, well, I couldn't work at an elementary school. I'd end up eating one of those kids for lunch. Maybe it's junior high God's called you to. Maybe it's high school. There I would eat one of them for lunch, probably. I don't know. But would you pray about it and say, God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to be an example to these children? How can I go and touch them the way you would want me to? Now, I'll be honest with you guys. When I was laying in bed and I was thinking about this Friday night, at first I thought maybe it was a mental thing from the tragedy that I just wanted, this past week, I just wanted to touch each one of those little kids and tell them they were loved and that they were special, that no matter what life throws at them, that you are cared for. And I thought, God, maybe you're just speaking to me and this is, you're just talking to me. But the more I thought about it, and then I realized, I think even before the tragedy, every time I've gone to camp and worked with these kids, I come back thinking, gosh, I wish I could have reached that little boy a little more or touched this one a little differently. Each time I come back thinking, thank you, Jesus. And it dawned on me, I think those of us who allow him to come in us and allow us to become his hands and feet in his ministry to these little ones, those of us who truly surrender our physical bodies to his spirit and reach out and touch these kids are fulfilling what he says when he says, suffer the children to come unto me. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit within us, I think, is just like Christ was there, smiling. And when Christ smiles within you, you can't help but smile on the outside as well. Amen. Folks, Jesus loves the children more than just bring them in on vacation Bible school. He loves the children every day and every night. And he has allowed us to be a part of his ministry. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would ask you why. Where are you today? Because he who knew no sin became your sin. And he said, I offer a gift of sacrifice to you, for the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there is no forgiveness of sin without the remission of blood. But I have shed my blood on the cross, and I rose again 3 days later, defeating death, hell, and the grave to show you that I am God. And whoever believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I don't want you touching my child. I'd rather you get it right with God first. And then let his grace flow through you to our children. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's first and foremost. And if you do, I understand you may not be gifted in that area. You may say, you know, brother, I can't work with kids. I just don't have the patience. I don't have the mind to do so. And that's great. That doesn't keep you from walking by and just ruffling their hair and saying, glad to see you. That's pretty simple. I promise they won't bite your hand off. They might bite a finger, but they won't bite your hand off. Pardon me? I got a group of kids for you. You'll take them. All right. Guys, whatever it is that God is moving in your heart this morning, will you make that commitment? If he's telling you today's the day to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then be as that child. Humble yourself. Put your faith in him. Trust him to bring you to where he said he could and step out. And he said, he who professes me before men, so shall I profess before the Father. But if you're here and you do know Christ this morning, now I'm going to ask you, get involved with your kids. Get involved with your grandbabies. Get involved with the neighbor's kids, the church kids. I don't know. Even if it's just walk by and just, like I said, ruffle their hair and say, man, I am so glad you're in church this morning. That child needs to know he's welcome. And let me tell you, they know when they're not welcome. When I was a youth pastor, well, I remember one instance where we were going to go to the mall. We used to have malls we walked in. You know, you used to actually lick stamps and put them on envelopes and such. But anyway, we'd go to the mall and we were handing out tracts. And I said, I need some adult volunteers to go with me with all these teenagers. And we were going actually to Humble, which is just a little ways outside of Houston, the big mall there. And I said, we're going to go to this mall. We're going to be handing out tracts. I need some adults. but only if you want to be there. Because if you're there just to get a feather in your hat, these youth are going to smell blood and they're going to eat you alive. But if you want to be there, they're going to thank you and they're going to love on you. And you're going to build a relationship that lasts forever. Folks, where are you this morning? Whatever it is God's laid on your heart, will you listen to Him this morning? I'm going to ask Brody and the guys to come up, and if we will all stand, I want to lead us in a word of prayer. If God is speaking to you this morning, will you listen? Will you follow through with whatever it is God's calling you to do? And if He is telling you that it's time to get your life right, it's time for you to come on to Him as a child, it's time for you to put your pride to the side and put your faith in Him, will you do that today? Will you truly get on your knees and accept Him as a child? Humble yourself and proclaim His righteousness. And then profess that before men so that He'll profess it before the Father. Where are you today? I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Father God, I just come before You right now and I praise Your name and I thank You for who You are and what You are. God, I thank You that You choose to use each one of us, every person in this room, Lord God, from big to small. I look right now and I see Phoenix and Isabella sitting right in front of me, and I want them to know, Lord, that You love them just as much as any adult in this room. God, I pray that each one of us will let that love shine to every child we come in contact with. And Father, may Your will be done in God's house. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, Brody.
Thank you. Well, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good seeing everybody this morning. I praise the Lord for each one of you. Before we...
And Don and Devin, come on up for just a second. You know Barry because even without Mike, you hear him in the fellowship hall.
Praise the Lord.
Lift up your voice.
Amen. They are coming as a family this morning. They know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And Barry's been singing in the choir and doing different things. And Don's been active at doing different things. But they're coming this morning. And they said they want to make it official. They've been honorary members, if you will. But they've come and they're moving their membership and be a part of this body together this morning. Everybody in court, say amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 So anytime their face crosses your mind, lift them in prayer. Especially for Don, if he starts singing in the car.
No, all the time.
All the time. Hallelujah. Lift them in prayer. And guys, you know what? Let's take them in prayer right now. Father, I just lift up Barry and Don and Devin to you. And God, I thank you for their obedience and their willingness to come and join this family, Lord God, and just to commit themselves. They were already a part of your family, and they were already friends and parts of ours. But they chose to commit themselves and put it down that they are a part of Sutherland Springs in your house, in your name. Father, may you get the glory for this, and may you bless their willingness and obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, guys. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for each one of you. I'm just happy seeing everybody that's here this morning. I just ask you to keep looking up. Brother Rod, would you close us in prayer this morning, brother? Bless you guys. Have a blessed day. Don't forget staff meeting, guys.
How are you?
Oh, gosh. Hey, everybody, real quick. Hold up a second, Brody. I almost forgot. This is very important. We have a special call business meeting next Sunday after service. This is the second week it's been announced. Thank you so much, Pat. So next Sunday after church, a special call business meeting. Got a couple things we need to get out to you guys. All right. Thank you, guys. Now you play, Brody.
Yeah.
Leviticus